الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ربنا إنك تعلم ما نخفي وما نعلن، سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. So this is the final session in the topic we've been covering for the last, 24 hours or so. And hopefully by now we've all sort of gotten a glimpse into some of the ways by which our prophets alayhim wasalam would communicate with Allah and converse with Allah. Sometimes they're du'as, sometimes they're just exclamations, sometimes they're just statements, but they're just so incredibly powerful, and I think we all learn from this a few things. One is, and the main take home from all of this is, what was the adab by which the prophets communicated with Allah? What was their approach? What was their humility? Like, how did they present themselves before Allah when they had to say something to Him? And then I think extrapolating from that, it's not just what they said, this translated into their actions before Allah as well. And I think that's what we all have to learn, which is, and myself included, which is that these statements were not just statements that they made just to teach us, but rather they were expressions of a reality that existed in their heart. The way they felt about Allah, that then came out in an expression which was verbal, which was then so beloved to Allah that it became documented in the Quran and preserved for people to use until the end of time. It wasn't lip service. It was a reality that was in their heart that was just being expressed verbally on their tongue. So we see this time and time and time and time and time again in the Quran. And of course, this eventually was further exemplified by the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But his statements were not necessarily recorded in the Quran as we see the statements of the prior prophets. We have his statements all recorded in hadith and some of those du'as and supplications that we learn from how he communicated with Allah. And what's amazing about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that, well, all of these conversations, think about it for a moment here. These statements that the prophets made to Allah that are recorded in the Quran, like, who was witnessing these? Was there, we have hadith for the Prophet ﷺ, where the Sahaba would record it, write it down, pass it down through a chain of narrators. Eventually, it ends up in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, and all these books of hadith, which are the statements of the Prophet ﷺ. But what about these prophets? There was no Sahaba. There was no, scribes that were taking note. In fact, most of these du'as were made in privacy. No one heard Musa alayhi salam when he said, "Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir." No one heard in the darkness of the belly of the whale, Yunus alayhi salam calling on Allah in this way. There was no scribe, there was no sahabi, there was no one that was paying witness to this and then saying, we need to make sure that the people until the end of time have access to this. Yusuf alayhi salam, same. It was Allah Ta'ala who wanted to record these statements of intense expressions of adab and love, who recorded this and said, this is going to be the model until the end of time for anyone that wants to call upon me, anyone that wants to speak to me. Here are some examples that you can use so that, one, you can mimic those, but then two, you can also develop your own conversations with me as well. The conversations with Allah are intended to be intimately personal. And that's why, we make dua and we call on Allah in our own language. Of course, there's value in doing it in Arabic and specifically mimicking the du'as of the Prophet and the Prophets, but there's an incredible value in making du'a in our own language, which is just calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the final session is pertaining to just a couple of examples of how some of the Prophets highlighted the greatness of Allah in their calling. How they highlighted or brought attention to the greatness of Allah ta'ala in their calling. And I'll give two examples from the Quran. One is a call from Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now, we know Ibrahim alayhi salam dropped his family off in Makkah Mukarramah, his son Ismail, who was just an infant, and his wife Hajar alayhi salam, and he dropped them off in this barren, wadin ghayri dhi zar', in a barren, desolate land in Makkah Mukarramah. And he left them there. And after leaving them there, he made a series of du'as. And those du'as are all recorded in the Quran. It's in Surat Ibrahim, and after making a few du'as, for instance, pertaining to رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, O Allah, establish prayer, فَجَعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَارْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ, bless this area, the people of this area, with fruits and لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ, so that they can thank you. And then he makes a dua that is very, very powerful. And again, just like a lot of the duas we've covered, it's more of a statement. But after making dua for a few things, he makes a statement and then he continues making dua again. So this is almost implanted in the middle of all of these. And he says the following. He says, رَبَّنَا, our Lord, إِنَّكَ تَعْلَمُ مَا نُخْفِي وَمَا نُعْلِنُ, our Lord, you know that which we conceal and that which we reveal. You know that which we conceal and that which we reveal. وَمَا يَخْفَى عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ, and there is nothing whatsoever in the universe, in the earth or in the heavens, that is concealed from Allah. And then he continues after that. It's a very powerful statement. And he's highlighting to us that, you know, Allah knows everything. And in the context of me, Ibrahim alayhi salam, me asking from Allah something, let me also interject here and remind myself and make this exclamation to Allah and tell the rest of the world that although I may be asking for A, B, and C, ultimately, oh Allah, you actually know what I need better than what I even know for myself. You know what I need even more than I know what I need for myself. إِنَّكَ تَعْلَمُ مَا نُخْفِي, that those things that are hidden within my heart that I've concealed, أَخْفَى يُخْفِي means to conceal something, to hide something. Those things that are hidden within my heart, my deepest desires, my deepest needs, the sins that I've hid from the rest of society, you know every single thing about me. That which is closed and that which I make apparent. You know, even if I tried, even if I don't share it with Allah, Allah knows it. Even if I don't present it to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. He knows what's best for us. He knows what is good for us. He knows what will bring us harm. وَمَا نُعْدٍ, and that which I make apparent, like I do i'lan of it, make it very openly noticed. And he says, وَمَا يَخْفَى عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ, and remember, in the middle of this dua, he's making the statement, and remember, nothing, forget what's in my heart, or deep within my own soul, or deep within my own mind, or my own brain, and what I reveal, forget that, because I'm just an insignificant, measly particle in the grand scheme of things in the universe. Nothing is hidden from Allah, period, both in the heavens and in the earth. Nothing is hidden from Allah, both in the heavens and in the earth. And this is the statement that he makes, and then he goes on to make additional dua for himself, his family, etc., etc. And so sometimes we should incorporate, we'll get back to the practical takeaways, but look at how Ibrahim alayhi salam subtly is asking from Allah in this dua, basically saying, I don't know everything that's within me and what I need. And on top of that, he's raising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praising him indirectly as well in this statement. It's like this all-encompassing dua. The second dua that I want to highlight is a statement of Isa alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salam. It's a very interesting conversation that Allah has with Isa alayhi salam, and it's narrated in the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ, when Allah said to Isa alayhi salam, when Allah said to Isa alayhi salam, أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَهَيْنِ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking Isa alayhi salam that, you know, all these people that followed you after that say that there's more than one God or God has partners, so this Trinity concept, is this something that you told them to do? Like, did you tell them to follow me in this way, you know, that I'm also the Son of God, etc., etc.? I'm paraphrasing the translation. Is this something that you told them? Is this something that you told them? Because that's the claim that's made, right? And the Quran is directly addressing this. قَالَ سُبْحَانَكَ مَا يَكُونُ لِي أَنْ أَقُولَ مَا لَيْسَ لِي بِحَقٍ. So Isa alayhi salam responds and said, glory be to you, Allah. There's no way I would say this. I would never say anything other than what you inspired me to say, essentially is what he's saying. Other than what you said as haqq, I would never share anything like that. There's no way I would put this into their minds or put this into their teachings. There's no way I would do this. إن كنت قلته فقد علمته تعلم ما في نفسي ولا أعلم ما في نفسك إنك أنت علام الغيوب. And then the conversation continues. ما قلت لهم إلا ما أمرتني به أن أعبد الله ربي وربكم وكنت عليهم شهيدا ما دمت فيهم فلما توفيتني كنت أنت الرقيب عليهم وأنت على كل شيء شهيد. Then he continues. This is the point that I want to get to. This conversation happened between Allah and Isa alayhi salam. I'm just painting a picture of what this conversation was about. Is Allah saying, all these people are making this claim that there's partners with me. Is this something that you're actually telling them to do or teaching them to do? Or is this something they're making up on their own? Allah obviously knows, but he wants us to witness this conversation. And Isa alayhi salam says, no, there's no way I would ever do anything like that. I would never say anything other than what you told me to say. This is not coming from me at all. Then Isa alayhi salam talks to Allah and he continued. He said, this is what they're doing, these people. Then he says, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Incredibly powerful, and it's so relevant to all of us. He asks, he poses this to Allah, and he says, look, I didn't do this, it wasn't because of me, but I will say, oh Allah, because you are Allah, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ, if you decide to punish them, ultimately they're your servants. And you have a right to do whatever you want. وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ, and if you forgive them, then you are أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ, then you are the greatest and you are the most wise. Now look at this. It's incredible because the prophets were of course taught to ask for forgiveness from Allah for the ummah, etc. Now of course this group maybe doesn't apply here exactly, but he could have said, oh Allah, if you punish them, they'll be at a loss. If you punish them, they're doomed and destroyed. But the adab by which he presents this proposition to Allah, and he says, oh Allah, if you punish them, they're yours anyway. It's your property. You could do whatever you want because they didn't even come into existence except for you. Basically telling us as well, and it's a reminder for us as well, that there's no entitlement here. Yes, as believers and as Muslims, we know that the Prophet ﷺ has told us, and Allah's promise in particular has been, that those people that believe in Allah eventually, ultimately are protected from the fire of hell, and that these people enter into Jannah. But I'll ask you this question. Is there anything binding on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that requires that He place all the believers into Jannah?
No.
If Allah ta'ala wants, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, on the Day of Judgment, not that this is going to happen, because His promise is true. But if on the Day of Judgment, Allah Ta'ala says, you know what? I want to punish everyone. I want to punish everyone, whether they believe in me or not. There's nothing binding on Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, because He is ultimately Rabb and we are Marbub. He is our owner and we are His property. And when you have property, you're able to do whatever you want with your property. It's totally up to you. It's completely up to you. Now, this isn't to misconstrue things. The promise of Allah to us is that yes, if we strive and we make an effort, then and we believe in Him in particular, then Jannah is what's promised for us, and we hang our hat on that because this is the promise of Allah. But Isa alayhi salam is highlighting here that ultimately they and everyone are ultimately just your property to begin with. When Allah created this world, He didn't have to say, okay, I'm going to put you onto this earth and I want to distinguish between who's good and who's evil. And the people that are good are going to Jannah. The people that are evil are going to Jahannam. He could have said, I'm putting you here because I want to. I want to see how you guys interact with one another. And your end game ultimately for everyone is going to be Jahannam, because I have the ability to do that. That's what's being highlighted here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ability is being highlighted. His mercy speaks otherwise. His mercy tells us that that's not what the ultimate result is going to be for those of us that believe. But Isa alayhi salam is bringing to attention, he said, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ, if you choose to punish them, they're your servants. You could do whatever you want with them. Similarly for us, I mean, imagine making that statement to Allah. Oh Allah, if you were to punish me, right, eternally, I'm yours anyway. You could do whatever you want. You could do whatever you want with me. There's nothing binding on you. There's nothing binding on you to keep me Muslim until I leave this world. There's nothing binding on you to keep me in Iman until I leave this world. There's nothing binding on you to promise me Jannah after I leave this world. You are Rabb. You could do whatever you want. And if you were to change course a little bit so that I kept my Iman until I left this world and that I did enter Jannah, this is your mercy. This is not a right that I have, because ultimately فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ. I am just your servant, and a servant does exactly what the Lord instructs him to do. And that's what's being highlighted by this statement. وَإِنْ تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. But if you were to forgive them, he's saying, if you were to forgive them, you know, it could have been, you were to forgive them, well, that's their God-given right. No. If you were to forgive them, it's because you are Aziz and you are Hakim. It's because you are Aziz and you are Hakim. So what are the sort of practical takeaways from these statements? The first, and we're learning this particularly from Ibrahim alayhi salam, that when we're talking about conversing with Allah and sometimes even asking from Allah, recognize that Allah knows what we need even better than we do. We've talked about this before, that even better than we do. And it makes sense because He created us, He inspired us, He knows our strengths, He knows our weaknesses, He knows human nature. He knows even better than we know what we need for ourselves. And we have to be fully accepting of that when we're calling upon Allah. And the second is that, on occasion, we should plead to Allah by reminding ourselves and Him that we are His. That we are His. Sometimes this provides consolation. If we've lost a loved one, let's say we've lost a parent, for instance, we lost a sibling, we've lost a child, you can make dua, and we can make dua that, oh Allah, forgive them, oh Allah, forgive them, accept them, grant them Jannah, grant them Jannah, grant them Jannah. But what if I just put the ball in Allah's court, recognizing that His mercy supersedes His wrath? And rather than require that He make any of these things binding on Him, instead I say that, oh Allah, You took them away, they're now Yours. And in the same way that You took care of them and You were their Lord when they were in this world, they're back Yours again. And they're in Your hands. It's this subtle expression of, I know You'll take care of them. Right? Because You're Allah, and Your love for the believers is so deep, and it's so profound. If we were left to ourselves, and to expect that our loved ones are going to earn their Jannah based off of their deeds or based off of my du'as, I think we'd be doomed. But because they're Yours, and they're now back to You, yes, You have the right to do whatever You want with them, and thank God You have the right to do whatever You want with them. Because Your mercy supersedes Your wrath. And similarly for me, if I was left to my own deeds, this would be a problem. I'm so fortunate that I am enslaved to You, because if I wasn't enslaved to You, what would my outcome be? If You were to punish me, oh Allah, I'm Yours. You could do whatever You want. If You were to forgive me, that would be great. But ultimately, it's up to You. So it's just something to contemplate. Yes, and again, I always put these disclaimers in because I don't want anyone to leave here thinking, I'm never going to ask for protection from the fire of hell for myself, for my loved ones. We're going to do those things. But at times, in some of our more intimate conversations with Allah, sometimes just expressing His status as our Rabb is more powerful than asking anything from Him. Because as our Rabb, He takes care of us. And I don't need to impose anything upon Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is recording this statement of Isa alayhi salam in the Quran. So I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to adequately express His greatness and our lack of entitlement in our communications with Him. I ask Allah ta'ala allow us to recognize the ills within our own hearts and make them apparent to us as He knows what lies deep within. And I ask that Allah ta'ala take care of us the way He's always taken care of us since before we even came into this world. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.